Romans 6, 17 to 18. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Our allegiance changes at the cross. Our allegiance to sin is destroyed, and our allegiance to righteousness is built and forged at the cross. Having realized that sin made us enemies of God and was leading us to destruction, we don't have any desire to live in sin anymore. We don't owe sin anything, do we? We want to be rid of it. It's filthy. Where did it bring us to? But there's one who saved us from that terrible fate that sin was leading us into. And so we love him. We respond to him with gratefulness and with surrender. We're willing to be his own. Our lives now belong to him because of what he's done for us. And he's now our Lord and our Master. And that's the argument Paul uses when he urges Christians to live a righteous life. And he gives an example in 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20, when he's talking about sexual immorality. The reason he's using is because now you belong to God. Something changed when you encountered the gospel, when you encountered a holy God, but realized you were guilty before him, but then he showed you mercy. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. The fear of the Lord brings us to that place where we surrender everything, our lives, to God. Here I am. Send me. Our ways, our plans, everything we do in this body and with this body, we surrender to God. We admit he knows best. We trust his wisdom, his ways, not our own limited perspective anymore. And that's how Jesus walked in the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Isaiah talks about this is how Jesus would walk in his life, and that's an example to us. Isaiah 11, 2 to 3 says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. What does that mean? He's not trusting, you know, just what he sees around him or what he hears from other people. His eyes are on God and he's listening to God's wisdom because he has a fear of the Lord. It means I respect what God is saying more than what I might think without him. If we're going to live under the anointing of God and keep in step with the Holy Spirit, we need to accept the wisdom, the counsel, and the knowledge of God, and to delight in the fear of the Lord just as Jesus did, not making your own judgments without reference to him. Well, if I have a fear of the Lord, I have an awesome respect for God, and a grateful love in response to him causes me to surrender daily to his will, to his wisdom, to his plans for me. But you know, in that surrender, I find great freedom and great joy. Why preach about the fear of the Lord? Because it's the way of wisdom that brings all these benefits, isn't it? It's the right way to live. It's the way we're called to live by God. See, if I walk in the fear of the Lord, if I walk in that wisdom that that brings me into, I don't have to make the rules anymore. I don't have to set the agenda for my life. I don't have to figure everything out on my own. I don't have to play God. I don't have to be afraid of what other people think, because what really matters to me, if I fear the Lord, is what God thinks, what God says, what's his agenda? What does he think of me? What is he telling me to do? And in that, we no longer grieve the Holy Spirit in that surrender, or live with that constant guilty tension, because we are grieving the Spirit. That surrender brings great joy and great peace, and that's when we come into living in the fear of the Lord. Remember those verses in Acts 9:31? They were living in the fear of the Lord, and they were encouraged by the Holy Spirit. You can't have one without the other. That's what I'm trying to say. You can't be encouraged by the Holy Spirit unless you're living in the fear of the Lord, having embraced God's holy nature and his righteous ways. Listen to what happened when that wasn't respected. In Acts 5:1-11, there was a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You've not lied just to human beings, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all those who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you got and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "this is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of God? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her out beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. What went wrong? You know, things were going very well for the early church at the time. There was growth, there was miracles. They were being clearly led by and empowered by the Holy Spirit. But Ananias and Sapphira thought they knew better than God. They decided to make up some of their own rules for themselves. They decided it's okay, you know, to look like they fitted in, but actually to remain unchanged in their own lives and in charge of their own lives. And to do that, they had to be deceptive. They had to tell lies to their fellow Christians. They had to tell lies to God. And Peter said, you know, by so doing, you've conspired together to test the Holy Spirit. Satan attempted them to test God's patience by actively sinning against him. And they both were struck dead. Then a great fear came on the church and everyone who heard about it. Well, there was a fear of the Lord that came on them after that, wasn't there? A sense, you know, we really have to respect God. We really have to do things his way. I'm sure people listened a lot more carefully to the Lord and lived a lot more humbly and openly and honestly and righteously after that. But without the fear of the Lord, people do what's right in their own eyes. Maybe that's a good way to understand the fear of the Lord. Say, well, what's the opposite? If I don't fear the Lord, I fear other people. I decide what to do myself. Instead of deciding to do what's right in God's eyes, I do what's right in my own ideas and my own mind. I make up rules for myself. And there's a lot of ways we can do that. We can do it. I mean, Ananias and Sapphira did it in relation to money. There's a lot of different ways we can do it in relation to money. Say, well, I just kind of deal with that my own way, not say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to use my money? We can do it in the way we relate to other people. Say, well, you're telling me to love everyone, but, you know, I'll love these people. I won't bother loving these. Well, I'll forgive these things, but when they do this to me, I'm not going to forgive them. I'll make up my own rules or version of God's word that works for me. That's not the fear of the Lord. We can do it in regard to how we behave at work with other people there. We can do it in the way we plan our careers or the direction for our lives. There's some strange things coming in to our world now, isn't there? A person who has no fear of the Lord can say, you know, I don't even accept what God says about my own gender. I'll decide what my own gender is myself. I don't care what God says. I'm deciding this. I won't accept what God says about my sexual orientation. I have my own opinion about that, and I'll decide and I'll do what I want to do, what makes me feel good. I won't respect the boundaries God has set for marriage. You know, it's my life. I'll live how I choose. Well, are you making your own rules? Are you adapting God's rules to fit the way you want to live your own life, to suit your own life? You know, that's not wise. That's not the fear of the Lord. Doesn't lead to a way of wisdom. It doesn't lead to a life of peace and honor and blessings, all those rich blessings we talked about. No, it's foolish. It leads to shame, bondage, and destruction. Ask yourself this question. Do you belong to yourself and no one else? Do you belong to yourself? Or have you been bought with a great price, the precious blood of Jesus? And if you have, don't you belong to God? Proverbs 3, 7 to 8 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing for your flesh and refreshment to your bones. There's great joy, there's great refreshment, there's great peace through the fear of the Lord and coming into the wisdom that we gain by embracing the fear of the Lord. Well, there's a huge difference between being wise in our own eyes and surrendering to the wisdom of God, isn't there? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You know, that knowledge includes His holiness, His absolute hatred of sin, but also the great depths of His mercy and grace and love. And we need to hold both of those together. And somehow we end up walking down the middle in great wisdom as we continue to surrender to God, rather than over here with judgment and condemnation, or over here with that laissez-faire attitude where, oh, anything goes, it doesn't matter. Are you in the middle? We need to pray that we'll be there, right? Well, keep going to the cross. That's where you see it clearly, isn't it? God's wrath and mercy meet at the cross. Have you gone back recently and had a look? So you can continue walking in the fear of the Lord, surrendered to His wisdom and ways. Let me just finish with some words of a song. Maybe you can think of as a prayer. This is a song by Wren Collective, one of their earlier songs. It says, may I be broken bread. May I be broken bread. It talks about surrender to God. So maybe as I read it, you could use it as a prayer. May I be broken bread. May I be poured out wine. May I incarnate your kindness, Lord. Spend my life, Jesus, any way you please, whether on great things or what seems small. Your will done your way. Your will done your way. Your will done your way. I will not fight you. Take me past the line that my heart draws. I will not fight you. Take me beyond the laziness of my thoughts. I will not fight. Lead me further than I've gone before. I will not fight you. I'm abandoned to your call. Do not let there be any part of me that's untouchable, unreachable. Let my delight be living out your dreams, washing dirty feet and kissing yours. God, let your dreams come true. Dream through us. God, let your dreams come true through us.